What's up, everyone? It's Craig Medeiros. I haven't done a podcast in, I think, forever. I just felt like it was a good time to get back to maybe start doing these. We'll see. I don't know. But I had a lot on my mind about the Padres. They had a fucking absolute disaster of a season in 2023. So I thought I'd give my thoughts on it, see where we go, if maybe I'll do podcasts again. I don't know. But I just really wanted to do this one. Give out my thoughts on the team and the direction for what I think they should go. So let's start with how the season went. It was a complete and utter fucking disaster. You get the third highest payroll in baseball, and you can't even make the fucking playoffs. You got the Diamondbacks are now going to the World Series. We came in, I don't even know what place we came in. Where did we come in? Third, fourth place? I didn't even watch like at the end of the year. I just kind of wasn't even following. I wasn't into it as much as, you know, normal years because I was just so pissed off. I mean, it's just an absolute disaster. You got all these high-priced players. We got some bad contracts now going forward. Older players now, you know, Bogarts and Machado's contracts. I'll get into all that. But let's just start with the news of today. Bob Melvin's now going with the Giants. I'm not like a real Bob Melvin defender. But the thing that I've noticed is everyone's like, it's almost like you got to pick between Preller or Bob Melvin. And if that's going to be the choice, then I'm picking Melvin every time. Because I am like Preller. To me, Preller's the biggest problem that we have with this organization. Really, it's Seidler. Seidler's actually the real problem because Seidler continues to let Preller basically run the team. And it's kind of hard for me to bash on Seidler because I heard, I don't know, about a month and a half ago that he was really sick. And then the guy who gives me some information told me, hey, man, he's really sick and he's not even going to the team meetings like at the end of the season. Apparently that's getting leaked out now. And that Eric Grubner was going. So, because I asked him like right when the season ended, I was like, dude, you can't come back to me and let this general manager come back after having three straight seasons of being over the luxury tax and only one of them making the playoffs. And he was like, oh, Medi, he's coming back. And he was like, Seidler's like basically not really running the team and it's kind of a shit show right now. And, you know, Eric Grubner was at the meetings and he was like, it sounds like Melvin's going to come back, but not positive on that. Well, obviously that didn't end up happening. So we didn't end up even getting Bob Melvin to come back. And now we have a vacant manager position and whether who they can get. I mean, I'd be cool with Mike Schilt or Ozzie Guillen or, you know, Washington or something like that. You got to get a proven manager because there's no way that you could come back to me and you're going to tell me that you're going to sign Flaherty as to be the manager. I mean, that would just be ridiculous. You have a roster that's built to win now. There's no like looking 2-3 years from now. The roster is built to win right now. You can't tell me, you know, a different manager and we're going with the youth movement and 3-4 years from now, we're going to be pretty good. No. And that the manager is going to grow with these players. That was like the Andy Green era. And that didn't work, obviously. And I honestly cannot believe that this organization is going to let AJ Preller going into his ninth season, if I'm not mistaken, and take his fourth manager. At least his fourth manager, if you count the interns, it's like his seventh manager. Because I see, you know, the Preller apologist that, you know, he can't fucking, my God, dude, they just love this guy and he can't do anything wrong. They have an excuse for all their bullshit because they fucking play basketball with him or he read a mock draft of theirs or he's friends with them. Nobody fucking cares, dude. Nobody fucking cares about that shit. I don't care what your relationship with him is. I don't care if he was your best man at your wedding or you're going to be his best man if he ever gets married. Nobody fucking cares. Nobody. I'm tired of this bullshit where all they do is fucking make excuses for this guy. Dude, this is a business, okay? It's a bottom line business. The guy's been here going into ninth season. You just had three fucking straight years being over the luxury tax, and you made one playoff run. One. And I see people even fucking saying all this bullshit. Like, I saw one idiot, one absolute idiot saying, oh my God, if you let go of Preller, that means Tatis is going to be gone, Soto's going to be gone, Machado, Bogarts. He just started listing all these like players, and then he started listing the minor league players. First of all, why would those guys have to be gone? Another general manager comes in, why would he get rid of those players? First, he's going to try to get rid of some of the bad contracts. Yeah, Tatis has got a great contract. I mean, that's a nice contract. Musgrove has a really good contract. The rest of them are disaster contracts, absolute disasters. Machado's contract's a joke. Bogart's contract's a joke. Darvish's contract's a joke. Cronenworth's contract's a joke. You know? So I don't understand why another general manager would come in here and oh, you'd have to get rid of these players. And then they make it like as if Preller is the reason why we got most of the players that we have or the big names that we have. That is the biggest load. That is the biggest bullshit I've ever heard. Reason why we have a lot of players compared to the years past is because ownership and Seidler is willing to spend the money. We never had top five payrolls, never had a number three payroll, never had top 10 payrolls. I don't even recall ever having top 15 payrolls in baseball. You know, maybe here and there. But I mean, Jesus Christ, some of you people are fucking stupid that think that he's the reason why. Like, I'll give you an example. You got Darvish. He had a 3-year deal. I think it was about $60 million on his contract. And we gave them like some minor league players to trade for Darvish. The only reason why a team is doing that is they're dumping salary. The Cubs at their time in their organization wanted to dump salary. So what did we do? We took on salary. It's not like Preller fucking ripped them off and was like, oh, here's some shitty minor leaguers. And no, you're taking on salary. You're doing what the Yankees do, the Phillies do. You know, these big market teams, the Mets. All these high-priced, you know, or big markets, Boston, that can do stuff like that. It's not like they have a great general manager, okay? I never thought Andrew Cashman was a real good general manager for the Yankees. I still don't. He's got a World Series ring. You know, I don't even think the guy on the Phillies is that good of a general manager. Like Boston, everyone even sucks off the LA Dodgers. I mean, you're just spending more. Teams like the Astros and the Braves and the, you know, what the Orioles are doing and what Tampa Bay has done for years, those organizations know how to do it. And those organizations are doing it right. And I give those type of organizations credit. I don't give credit to, oh, we just spend more than you. Like, there's basically no salary cap, you know. And I started hating on Preller or not liking him. I don't consider myself like a hater. I don't really get that. I want the team to win. I want him to do good. So I'm not like hating on him. I just lost faith in him. And it goes back to, I think it's 2021. Sometimes I get my years mixed up. Is when they went over the luxury tax that year and they added Adam Frazier and Daniel Hudson and some pretty boy looking motherfucking center fielder. That was like a defensive replacement. He was like a fifth outfielder. I forget what his name was. You're going to tell me that you're going to go over the fucking luxury tax to get that those guys? Like, that is ridiculous. And I remember at the end of the season, like, Dennis Lynn, like, the season was over. They didn't make the playoffs. They didn't even finish above 500. They were under 500. It was a complete disaster of a season. And at the end of the season, they go, oh, by the way, we went over the luxury tax. And just kind of like swept it under the carpet and like no one talked about it. Because we have the biggest bunch of pussies in the San Diego sports media that do absolutely nothing, you know. Don't ask any hard questions. It's all the same little softball questions. And then they act tough when Preller's not on the air. And then they bring Preller on the air and they just ask some bullshit questions. Where it's just like, dude, he's not going to like ask hard, tough questions. Have you heard of anyone ask AJ Preller, how did you go over the luxury tax? Explain why you went over the luxury tax to get fucking Adam Frazier, a Punch and Judy little second baseman who was having a career season. He was hitting like 320. The minute he comes over here, all of a sudden he's like a 220 hitter. But you went over the luxury tax to get that guy. Like, if you're going to go over the luxury tax, you better get fucking like they did last year when they got Juan Soto. If you tell me, dude, we're going over the luxury tax, but we're getting Juan Soto, then fine, dude. I'd be like, okay, I, you know, it's more justified. You can just be like, okay, yeah, I understand it. Like, we're going for it. Adam Frazier's not putting you over the hump, dude. There's no fucking way. And Daniel Hudson, like, you know, that guy's injured all the time, and he wasn't, like, lights out that year anyways. He wasn't putting you over the hump. And I remember Padre Twitter, I kept saying it at the time. I was like, dude, this is pathetic. Like, this is just unacceptable as a general manager and as an owner. I'm blaming both of them. And basically, I'm at the point where it's equal blame. Really, it's more, I'm more on Seidler, because I look at Seidler as like, that's the parent, okay? And Preller is the kid that has, basically Seidler's giving him a credit card and not even checking to see what he's spending on. Well, really, you know, who are you going to blame in that situation? You're going to blame the parent, because it's like, dude, what are you doing? Why are you letting him get away with this? And why do you continue to let him get away with this? I got two kids. I got one kid at 13. He's a boy, and my daughter's 11. So my wife and I, we hang out with, you know, their friends' parents. Well, if a kid's acting up, you know, or is constantly getting in trouble, I don't look at it like it's the kid's problem. I always look at it like, dude, the parent's fucking up. It's the parent that's not, you know, reprimanding the kid. He's not telling him, you can't do this. Well, that's why I feel like it was Peter Seidler. I feel like Peter Seidler is just like letting him do whatever he wants. And it's hard for me to bash on Seidler right now because I know he's really sick. So I don't really want to go down that road. But like, this has been happening now for a while. Like, this organization is a fucking mess. It is a fucking mess, in my opinion. I mean, they got some talent. Like, you bring back the top four. I mean, I think those guys will hit next year. I don't think there's any way that they can hit as bad as they did last year. Like, Soto almost the first half of the season, or the, you know, a first third of the season, looked like he couldn't really hit that much. He ended up with an OPS of like 930 or something. And that was like kind of supposed to be a down season. That's how good that guy is. You know, and now there's rumors that we might trade him. How the fuck, as of an organization, you going to come back to your fan base, say, hey, we traded Mackenzie Gore, we traded James Wood, Robert Hassel, CJ Abrams, and the Susanna kid, five legit prospects, okay? I wasn't that high on Abrams. I watch a lot of the minor leagues. I wasn't that high on Abrams and Hassel. Abrams looks like he can actually play a little bit. At least he can play some defense. Like, he's athletic. To me, he goes for too many home runs. If he can shorten up his swing, you know, I mean, he's still young, so maybe he will. Like, I'm surprised he's hit as many home runs as he has. I thought he'd be more of an easy out. He doesn't really walk and what have you. But he still could be an everyday starter. Okay, he could bat eighth, ninth in a lineup. And if he's batting eighth, ninth in a good lineup, and he's, you know, with his speed, batting in front of like the leadoff hitter, you know, I think that's a pretty decent player. And I think Mackenzie Gore can be a one or a two eventually. I think he's, if I had to predict, I would say he's going to be a really good number two. And then I think James Wood could be a superstar. Now, maybe it doesn't work out that way. But what I'm trying to say is, if you're going to trade that much for Juan Soto and you have him for 2.5 years, okay, so you already had him for two runs at a World Series. You had him last year. You made the NLCS, okay? And then this year, you're supposed to be a World Series contender. You can't even make the fucking playoffs. And then you're going to come back to the fan base and say, hey, we can't afford him. I mean, I'm saying if they do this. Oh, we can't afford him, and now we got to trade him. I don't understand how you could do that. Because how the fuck are you going to tell me that you decided to pay Manny Machado at the age of, I think it's like 30, give him a 10-year or 11-year deal, and Bogarts, I think he was around the same age, it's like 29 or 30 for each one, and give him a 10-year deal? How are you going to come back to me and say, oh, by the way, we don't have enough money now for a 25-year-old Juan Soto? It's just inexcusable. So to me, it's, you better sign him, Or you should have got out of it last year at the trade deadline and traded him. It's one or the other. Because now if you trade him, yeah, you'll still get some decent prospects. Let's say they trade him this offseason. Let's say they try to sign him and they say, oh, we don't have enough money, which is just inexcusable. And we'll still have a media that won't you know, bring this up or question AJ Preller on it because they're a bunch of pussies. But if we had a real media, they would ask him and go, how the fuck did you give all that money to Machado and Bogarts at their age and not have the money to get Juan Soto at his age? Because at 25, dude, you're talking about a guy who's really hasn't been, he's got most of his prime years still ahead of him. I'd say the prime years in baseball are around like 23 to what, 30, 23 to 28, 29 years old. I mean, and to me, Juan Soto is going to age pretty well. Like, yeah, he's probably not going to be defensively, but that guy's such a good hitter and he has such a great eye for the plate. Like, I don't think he's going to go in long slumps. I don't think he's going to I don't think you'll ever have to worry about him as a hitter. Like, he's going to have an OPS over 920 almost every single season. And his great season is going to be over 1,000. And we're going to either let that guy just walk, which would just be unbelievable, be dumb. But with how this organization has been run over the years, I wouldn't be shocked if that happens. Or we're going to trade him now, where we could have traded him a couple months ago at the trade deadline and gotten way more. Because you would have gave someone else two runs. You would have gave them a team that was going to the playoffs this year. So they would have said, hey, we're making a run this year. And then that team probably thinks that they're going to be good enough in 2024 that they're going to say, yeah, we're going to have them for two runs. And you probably would have gotten three top 100 prospects back, you know, or I don't know, four top 150, top 175 prospects back for him. Something, you would have gotten something pretty close to what you gave up for him. You wouldn't have gotten all of it back, but let's say instead of Gore being in the deal, you would have gotten like a Wood, Hassel, Abrams, Susanna type of deal back, in my opinion, or something close to that. Now, you're probably just looking at two top 100 prospects or top 120 prospects, two back for him, which is just completely different. And going back to the trade deadline, because there was a lot of people, it was like split opinions. It was like, you should sell. And then the other people were like, no, you need to add on. And then basically the Padres did nothing. They added on like very minimal things. You know, you got Hill, who's like 100 years old, and he couldn't pitch. And then they got, you know, Cooper and Chow or whatever his name is. Choi, and he can't, you know, I don't even think he got a hit if I recall. So basically they didn't do anything. They didn't really get rid of any minor league players. I mean, I was cool with that. But to me, you had to sell or you had to buy. Because if you bought, which I would never have done, I would never have bought, I would have sold. Because, and I said it 100 times, and this is the reason why I said it. I would have said, you need to talk to Boras and you need to find out if you have a chance for Soto. If you don't feel like you have a chance for Soto, because you should know how much you should be able to offer him. I don't know how you're going to be able to do it. I don't know how you're going to be able to sign Soto at his contract that he's going to ask for, Tatis, and then what Bogarts and Machado already got. But if Seiler and, you know, all the people that are helping him out, you know, paying stuff, because apparently there's like some Mexican guy in Mexico that's filthy rich that's helping him or something, I don't know. If those guys are just playing with Monopoly money and can sign whatever, then you should have asked Boras, like, what's the ballpark? Where are we at? Like, if he goes, oh, I want, you know, something around 500, then if you're only willing to go 400 and be like, oh, we're 100 million off and that we don't have a chance to get him, then you should have traded him at the deadline as well. And you could have traded Hader and you could have traded Snell. And you would have gotten a shitload back, and you probably would have gotten, I don't know, let's just say 6-7 top 150 prospects from those three guys. Or if you only traded Hader and Snell, which should have been automatic. Those should have been automatic trades. You're talking about Snell, who was having a Cy Young type of season. You're telling me one of these teams like the Rangers, even though the Rangers are going to the World Series, but you're telling me that they wouldn't want a guy like a number one like Snell. I mean, Snell was on last year. He was completely on, and I don't even want him back at all. He's going to get like over, what is he going to get? $250, close to $300 million contract? Because the fucking left-hander that went to the Yankees from the Giants, I'm drawing a blank on him. I mean, he got, what did he get? I forget. I think he got a shitload, and you know Snell's going to get more than him. So he's probably going to get, I forget. So let's say over $200 million. There's no way I'm playing Snell anything like that, giving him a 5-6 year, 7 year deal, so he could go back to playing fucking video games. So in my opinion, I didn't even want him back. So why didn't you flip him? You could have gotten probably, I would say, a minimum of two top 150 prospects, top 125. There was some rumor that Boston was giving up two top 100 prospects for him. I mean, who knows if those things are ever true, but you're at least getting one top 175, and I think you would have another one that's a top 50. I would assume you could get that for him. And then for Hader, I would assume you could have gotten probably a borderline top 100 prospect for him, or a top 125 or something. And you should have gotten pitching, what should have been either all three of those guys are pitchers or two of the three. Because you're going into next year with two starting fucking pitchers. And this is the problem with the contracts and the way this team is structured. It's so poor, in my opinion. I mean, who's pitching next year for them? You got Darvish and Musgrove in your rotation. I think Darvish is, I mean, I was on a space last night and the guys kind of disagreed with me, which is fine. Maybe they're right. I hope they're right. I think Darvish is like a 4, maybe a 5 right now. I'm really worried about Darvish because he got bombed, dude. He got bombed in a lot of games. Then there were some games that he would pitch 6-7 innings and shut him down. You're like, oh, okay. But it seemed like it was every third game he would have a really good game. And then two of them, like he just gives up. He's given up too many home runs. He's got 5 more years on this deal, if I'm not mistaken, or it's 6. He signed a 6-year deal. I don't know if it was because he had one more left. I think it's 5 more on his deal. So, I mean, that contract's going to be a disaster. Let's just say he's a 3. Musgrove, to me, has always been, or not always been, but basically since the Padres got him, he was a 2 or a 3, and then I think he developed really into a 2. But he's not a 1, and I don't think you need a 1 to win a World Series. I mean, you know, who are the Rangers and Diamondbacks? I mean, the Diamondbacks, you know, Gallen and Kelly are, you know, probably 1s, but, like, I don't know. But if to me, the game's changing and it's going to more offense. Like, I mean, the Phillies have been in the NLCS and the World Series the last 2 years. And really, they're kind of offense. And then they have like one or two, they have like two good pitchers, and Wheeler and Nola. I mean, and then the Suarez guys, I mean, he's okay. But to me, you don't need like 3 like legit like frontline rotation or 1s or 2s type of pitchers. You could basically, the offense just needs to be hitting in the playoffs, going into the playoffs. So in that sense, I think the Padres have a chance, because if you bring back those top 4 guys, like, I mean, if those guys just hit what they should hit, like, you know. But going back, the reason why I wanted to sell so bad is I knew they weren't going to make the playoffs. I mean, I was pretty damn confident. I wasn't 100%, but I was like over 80%. I was like, dude, this team's not making the playoffs. And so many people argued with me and argued with others that, you know, and they kind of laughed and smirked like, I can't believe you don't think they're making the playoffs, or you're not a true fucking fan. Get the fuck out of here. I ain't a true fan, dude. Been a fan basically since birth, 42 years old, you know. Just because I don't see everything as just, you know, they're the greatest thing ever and, oh, we're so unstoppable, this and that. Like, yeah. You know, I've been through it. I know what I'm looking for. Am I always right? No. But, I mean, shit, man, some of these people, they get so upset if you have a different opinion or something. It's just like, whatever, dude. And then they never come back and, like, say, hey, man, you were right about this, or you were right about that. I'll come back and say when I'm right, or I'll come back when I say when I'm wrong. I say it all the time. Of course, there's some people that say, he never says that. I'm like, okay, please. But we need good young starting pitchings to even out some of these contracts too. Because if you go, you're talking about going into next year, you need to fill in three starting pitchers. So you're just going to tell me that you're going to get that all in free agency? Or you have to get at least 2 and then tell me that Pedro Avila and then all the guys in the minor league, you're going to kind of like hope they develop and come up, like Arrieta or however you pronounce his name. And then I'm drawing a blank on the right-hander that was there too. There was like 2 good pitchers in the minor leagues. And then Robbie Snelling, I mean, I don't think he's going to be ready for 2024, maybe 2025. So they got some decent starting pitching down there, and then Lesko. Lesko's a stud. I think that guy's got a really good chance to be a one or a two. But, I mean, he's years away, too. Like, you can't just come up and like, oh, yeah. So you're basically a season away from having pretty good young pitching maybe coming up is my point I'm trying to make, where you could have traded those guys, got some double-A, triple-A type of pitchers that were ready to go into 2024, and then, you know, had some more guys behind them. You always want to stockpile pitchers. You can't just always say, oh, we got five pitchers here, because it wasn't too long ago. We had like 11, 12 pitchers, and we traded a lot of them, but, I mean, we had Quantrill, we had Patino, you know, Nix, and, you know, the list goes on, Gore, what have you, Paddock. We had all these pitchers, and then now look at us. And only a couple years later, we don't have fucking any young pitching really coming up next year, in my opinion. At least you can't, like, project it that way. And then you got the following year, yeah, I think you're going to be more ready for that. But again, you want to stockpile. You want to have as many as you can. That's why I wanted to trade those guys. And you were going to trade them when their value was high. Buy low, sell high, man. I've been saying that for a long time. Buy low, sell high. And going back to Soto, another reason why you better sign him is he's your only left-handed bat. That's worth a damn. Cronenworth fucking sucks, dude. I've seen enough of Cronenworth to know that he sucks. I mean, when he signed that contract, the guy I gamble with, he texted me right away. And he was like, it was like really early in the morning. I remember I was at work. And he was like, dude, what the fuck are we doing with Cronenworth? And I was like, what? I was like, what's going on? And he was like, how? And the text said, like, how could we sign him to this type of deal? And I'm like, there's no way they signed him. Like, you know, I hadn't heard it yet or anything or seen it on Twitter. I was like, there's no way they signed him because he had more years. He had like 3 years of arbitration left. Like, why would you sign him? And you give him out a 7-year deal. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? And we do these dumb contracts over and over. And it's Seiler and Preller's fault, both of them. It's not just one or the other. But, I mean, Preller just is basically got, he's got a credit card and he just keeps spending it everywhere. And Seiler doesn't care. Just keeps going, oh, I don't care. Whatever, do whatever you want. Like, it's just dumb. Like, it's just a piss poor run organization. And, you know, I mean, I think Robert Hassel, I think he's going to be pretty good. At first I didn't think he was going to be that good. And then he kind of shortened up his swing and he started making more contact, started hitting more line drives. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm starting to like him. The Salas kid, I mean, Jesus Christ, that guy looks unbelievable. But again, that's years away, dude. And another thing on Preller is I always hear like, oh, the farm system. Like, look, I love the farm system. I mean, I think it's very important. I'm not one of these guys who gives a shit about the farm system. No, I think the farm system is very important. I think that's how you build your organization. But Jesus Christ, the guys, we're going into his ninth season. What's his track record of bringing up anyone through the farm system and actually being able to develop him? It's a huge problem with this organization. You go, look at the starting rotation. Nobody's been developed through the starting rotation, through Peller. Nobody in the everyday eight, except for Tatis. I'll give you Tatis too. I know you didn't draft him. I'll give you that. And then you have a chance with Camposano. Yeah, because I think Camposano showed a lot last year. But that's a chance. That's not a proven catcher yet. So the only guy that's come up through the system that's worth it fucking damn is fucking Fernando Tatis. Through his entire tenure, he either traded them all or the other guys were just bust and they didn't develop them correctly. Or they were just highly overrated. One of the, you know. I mean, that's a huge problem going forward. So everyone's like counting on the farm system. It's like, dude, until he starts proving it, like it's almost like this in the NFL, right? You could have a bunch of draft picks. Like someone can trade, you know, make a stupid trade like Cleveland did for Deshaun Watson or Denver did for Russell Wilson or, you know, Carolina did for that Smurf, not even drafting the best quarterback in the draft, not even close, and Bryce Young. But if the other team doesn't and gets all these picks, if they don't use it correctly, then it doesn't matter. So if you have all these guys in the farm system, but you don't know how to develop them, it really doesn't matter. So until the guy starts developing them, then I'm not really, you know, going to get all like, oh, we got this guy, we got this guy. Like, yeah, I mean, I watch them and I think some of them are good. And, you know, the guy who gives me some information on the Padres, you know, I think it was last year after Gore didn't come up, like to start, or it was like a year before that, Gore's development was kind of going slow. And then Preller got really pissed. So he like, you know, changed up like some of the guys in the development department. And it looks like it's kind of changed from there. It looks like we're getting better at that. But until you start seeing it on the, you know, major league field instead of just in the minor league system, I mean, shit, you still can't just be like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. I mean, we're going into next season and we need 3 starting pitchers. Hopefully they bring back Lugo. I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I mean, you got AC. They keep saying that they're going to – I saw them write another article today that they're going to trim the payroll. If that's the case, then this thing's just going to be a disaster. Unless they do it. I mean, I don't understand how you could come back to the fan base and say we're going to trim the payroll and we didn't trade Hader and Snell at the deadline. I just don't get it. Even Soto, if you're trimming payroll and you're trying to get under the luxury tax, which I understand if you were doing that, but why the fuck didn't you fucking trade those guys, probably get 6-7 legit prospects back and then go, hey, we're going to have all these prospects and we're going to add it on to Merrill, you know, Salas and Lesko and Robbie Snelling and all these guys that we have, and we're adding 6-7 more, you know. So you got a plethora of prospects, and then you're saying by 2025, 2026, we're adding these guys to Machado, Tatis, and Bogarts. You know, Musgrove would still be there. Then fine, then that's a plan that I can get behind. You know, you could say, hey, we went all in, we got Soto, but now we got to take a step back. We didn't win it, and 2 years later, or 2-3 years later, we're gonna have a contender again. Fine. I'd be cool with that. But you can't fucking come back to me and say we're gonna cut payroll and we didn't trade those guys and now we don't have that much in the farm system. So I know some of these people are like, oh my God, Preller's already got back a top 10 farm system. It's like, I mean, okay, cool. He also didn't get you the playoffs again. And then everyone wants to blame Bob Melvin. Again, I don't know if Bob Melvin is that good of a manager or not. But I know he's got a much better track record than Preller. What is Preller's track record? Has anyone ever thought of that? He's got 9 fucking seasons into this, or 8 seasons, and he's got 1 playoff run. I don't want to hear about the COVID year. The COVID year was a joke. It was a 60-game season. And Clevinger and Lament were out for the season. We weren't making the playoffs if that's a 162-game season. We've already seen where we spiral and just get destroyed in the second half of seasons. You know, like in 2021, weren't we like 18 games above 500 in like the middle of August or something? And we still finished under 500? And we got just destroyed. And then this year, you're starting like Rich Hill in like crucial games where it's like do or die. And we're starting Rich Hill. And you guys want to tell me this is a good fucking general manager? Like this guy, and everyone, oh, these rosters are loaded. These rosters are loaded. It's almost like all he needs is a manager. How many managers are you going to give this guy? This will be, if you take away the interns, this will be his 4th manager in the 9th season. 4th! So almost every 2 years, he's getting a new manager. That's a joke. What other organization is letting that happen? What other media is letting that happen? Nowhere else. Only in fucking sunny San Diego where it's 72 to 75 degrees outside and people put their feet in the sand and have a Corona and are enjoying paying $9,000 gas prices. And, you know, you go to the grocery store, you can't leave Costco without paying $200, $300, you know. Can't even go, even if you just go to the local grocery store, you can't come out of there without spending over $150. I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute fucking joke. But we're going to sit here and like give this guy another chance. He's had three payrolls, three over the luxury tax. We are getting penalized up the ass. That's another thing. Whatever pick we have to take back 10 slots. I don't even know what pick we have. Let's say it was 12. Now we're picking 22 or whatever. I mean, it's a joke, dude. And these things add up. Like, I get it. He got another international signing, like shortstop, DeVeers or whatever his name is. Like, his swing looks pretty nasty. He's a scout. He's a really good scout that is really good with the international signings. That's what he is. He's not a general manager. And I did a podcast back when I was doing podcasts. I did one right after they went over the luxury tax with Adam Frazier. Once they did that, I was done with Preller. And what did I say? I said to go get Theo Epstein. If you got Theo Epstein, he would have cleaned this shit up. And by now, we had already be probably contenders with not being at the luxury tax. We'd be under luxury tax. Our payroll flexibility would be very nice. And Seiler would be like, dude, I can go over the luxury tax. That's where you want to be. You want to be under the luxury tax where Seiler comes, hey, if you ever need to go over it at the trade deadline, like I'll go over it. That's where you want to be. That's a beautiful situation. We're over the luxury tax and we're like under 500. We're third in payroll and what, third or fourth in the division. I don't even remember if the Giants beat us or not. I honestly stopped watching like the last 2 months. I watched here and there. I mean, I used to watch every single game, but it frustrated me so much this season. It was such a fucking joke. Everybody's telling me, oh, they're going to go like on a 10-game winning streak. All they have to do is go on one big winning streak. They couldn't win four straight games. Then I had people argue with me, dude, they were only three games under 500 at the deadline. You really wanted to sell? Yes, because now you're fucked. Don't you get it? Now you're fucked. You have no starting pitching going into next season. What are you going to do? You got AC, and look, it's AC, so it could be wrong. I mean, we've seen it before. He said they were going to spend $25 million last year. They spent $25 million on Bogarts. He was like, oh, they're going to do this. Spend $25 million in the offseason. Spent $25 on Bogarts, added a bunch of other guys, gave extensions to other guys, gave an extension to Cronenworth, gave an extension to Darvish. They added, God, the guy that used to pitch for the Cardinals and the Red Sox, drawing a blank. You know, added Lugo. I don't know what they're going to do. I would love to bring Lugo back. You know, get him on a three-year deal. You probably might have to pay four. I don't know. But, I mean, they need starting pitching. Do not bring Nick Martinez back at that price. I think it's like $16 million for his op. It's a joke. Waka, that's who I was thinking of, Waka. I don't think they're going to bring Waka back because if you opt into Waka, it's a two-year deal for $32 million. If it was a one-year deal for $16, yeah, I'd probably take that risk that he could, you know, pitch 70% of his games because he's older. He's going to get hurt. Can't expect him to pitch 90% of his starts anymore. It's just not going to happen anymore. But, I mean, They really fucked themselves this year at the trade deadline because I believe that they have a stubborn owner and a stubborn general manager that think that they're above everybody and think that, like, you got an owner who's just like, he'll just keep spending. And unless he's going to go way over the luxury tax next year, I think they're fucking screwed. And they better, I don't know how you come back to the fan base and say, oh, we're going under the luxury tax and we're going to trade Soto. I don't know how you can come back to your fan base to say that. By you could have, in my opinion, if you came back to him and said, hey, we're trading Snell, we're trading Soto, we're trading Hader at the trade deadline, bringing up all those minor leaguers, and then coming back in 2024 saying, hey, we got a young team, we're going to build around Tatis, and we're going to hope that Bogarts and Machado are still good enough when these young guys come up with Tatis in his prime. That would have been a plan I could have got behind. But now, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand what they're going to do. I mean, we'll see. This is going to be a very interesting offseason. It's either going to set them back even farther, or they're going to have a chance. Like to me, it's almost like they have to quadruple down, because it seems like they've already doubled and tripled down. It's almost like they have to quadruple down, because it's just like they just keep going down this road. That it's just, I don't know. Unless you're going to trade your minor league guys, which I do not want to do, and try to get starting pitching, like, you know, a cheaper starting pitcher who has got like 2-3 years left on his deal, and some team that doesn't think they're going to sign him, like Milwaukee or something, or Minnesota, they're just like, you know, those type of organizations, Oakland or Tampa Bay, that just never spend money, Pittsburgh, and there's some good pitcher who's got like 2 or 3 years left on his deal, and the Padres are like, oh, okay, we'll give you like 3 of our top prospects and we'll get that guy. Like, I don't know. Just seems like I don't see this I don't have faith in the organization. I don't have faith in Peter Seidler. I sure the fuck don't have faith in AJ Preller. The one thing I will say on Preller is, from what I heard, was Preller and the rest of the front office wanted to sign Bogarts, and they wanted Machado to walk. They knew he was going to opt out, and they were going to let him walk. And then Peter Seidler came in and was like, oh no, I want Machado too, and I'm signing Machado. That's how piss poor this organization is run. How the fuck do you guys not communicate that? And if you do, how the fuck do you not? You have to make one or the other. You can't sign both. Like, there was no way you could sign both. It's just dumb. Or you can't have one guy saying, I don't want to sign this one and I don't want to sign that one. Like, you got to come to an agreement. But that's how piss poor this organization is run. And I don't care what other people say and tell you, like, I have insider information. Fine, whatever. I don't care. I'm giving my opinion. You could sit there and argue every little... You got a couple guys on Project Twitter that will argue with anyone that says anything on Preller. Anything. And they'll just sit there and argue and argue. And I don't even want to argue with those two guys anymore. It's just so dumb. It's just so ridiculous. It's just like, dude, I'm not even going to talk to you about Padres. I don't even want to. It's that ridiculous. Because you can't say anything without, oh, it's because of this, or I have all the information. Okay, fine, whatever. We're watching the product on the field is not winning with this general manager. Okay? And he's been given everything. He got to spend, what was it, like $80 million that 1 year in the international signings when they got like Patino and Morahan and all those guys. Gabriel Arias, whatever his name was. You know, they got all those guys. That was like $80 million. So you got international signing up the ass. They've always spent international signings. And then you got payrolls that have been like in the last 3 years, I think 6-5-3, if I'm not mistaken, or 6-4-3 or something like that. And you got one playoff run. That's it. And the Diamondbacks have, in the last 3 years where you were over the luxury tax all 3 seasons, Diamondbacks weren't over the luxury tax even once, and they've already surpass you as the season that you went the farthest. And they made the playoffs in that span the same amount of times as you did. I mean, that's just pathetic. And they've already, you know, went farther. You went to the NLCS and you won one fucking game. They're playing in the World Series. So, all right. Well, that's it. Hopefully you guys enjoy this. Don't be afraid to retweet them out. Tell a friend, what have you. I think I'm going to do a football one tonight too. I got nothing else to do. So I love football. I love the gambling. So, all right then, till the next time. Good night.